ויהי השלישי ויהיה הבוקר ויהי קולות רוקים וענן כבד על ההר וקול שופר חזק מאוד ויחרד כל העם אשר במחנה וכל העם רואים את הקולות וסלפידים וסהר עשן ויערום וינו וימדו מרחוק ונזוי ויתר. So and so forth, as it says here. And actually it's not even translated right. Witness the voices? It doesn't say that in the Torah. It says v'chol ha'am royim es ha'kolos. That means saw the voices. Art Scroll changes it to whoever translated it to witnessed, because how are you going to say they saw the voices? They saw sound? But we modern day individuals understand that seeing sound is a normal thing. That's right. Seeing sound is a normal thing. It's the chesaron in our eyesight. How come I can see the wall? I'm standing here, I see the wall, right here. Without touching it, I see it. In between my eyes and the wall, in these 3 feet, it's not empty. There's all kinds of things there. Maybe there's microscopic bacteria. Maybe there's soot from a volcano in Iceland. Maybe tiny particles. Maybe there's radio waves going by from CBS telling me the weather. Maybe there's radon coming up from the ground. Maybe there's radio. There could be 100 things. I don't see it. Why? It's not there? No. My human eyesight has this and this limitation. A dog can smell a tuna fish sandwich 50 yards away. I don't smell anything. Is there a smell? Yeah, the dog smells it. I don't. Basically, we only go as far as our seeing, hearing, touching. A student once asked me in a university, what's the Jewish concept of alternate life on other planets? I said, why don't you ask me about alternate life on planet Earth? Maybe on planet Earth there's something that we can't hear, see, smell, or touch. But it'd be stupid to say it's not there. It's our chesaron. When the Gemara talks about all kinds of things and shadim baruchais velilis rachmano litzlan, negative or positive forces that we look at, it's there. We just are limited and we don't see it and we don't hear it and we don't touch it, we don't smell it. If I can't touch it, hear it, smell it, or see it, not there. No, it is there. It's our chesaron. Mamad HaSinai was an event where the census of the Jews was expanded with no artificial means. So that it was Royim Es HaKolos. Royim Es HaKolos. Now here's the big question. The biggest question. And this is the question I'll ask when I do talking to non-from people. Did this happen or not? Is this real or is this fiction? Now, if a boy in a yeshiva asks this question, he gets answered very clearly with two smacks, which is a mistake. That's not the correct answer. There are answers, and a person can ask. And the whole Klal Yisrael starts off with the first mitzvah of Pesach, of a Seder, and it starts with Manishtana. And the kid says, how come we didn't come with smash? Fresh shalish, boom, boom. What do you mean? It says what it's supposed to say. Oh, the Rebbe Gizuk Tazai. Did this happen or not? Now, we are Maminim and Bnei Maminim. We know Avoseinu, Avoise, Avoseinu, Besinai. But actually, from a plain point of evidence, it can also be shown very clearly that Mamad HaSinai is real. Let's play God, as I said before. You're the Rabbeinu Shalom. The Rabbeinu Shalom has two ways of giving the Torah, or giving his religion to the world. Either this way, gather together a giant nation. At that time, the Eden were 2.5 million people. When they're in an exalted, unified state, Kish Echad Belev Echad, and give a public demonstration of Koyle Suvrokim and Koyle Hashem, like here. The other way of doing it is finding one individual, Simcha. Psst, Simcha, it's me, Hashem. From now on, spread the word that on Wednesdays you should light candles and on Thursdays you should eat cheesecake, doesn't matter if it's Shavuos or not. This is the religion. Spread the word, you're the prophet. Those are the two ways, public or private. Which way is better? You don't know? I'll tell you the Indian chief story. The Indian chief died. Three sons were left over. Each son wanted to be the new chief. They argued for 3 weeks. One morning, one of the sons comes running in. Problem solved. Papa came to me in a dream last night, told me who the new chief should be. Everybody says, who? What do you think he says?
Me.
What do you think they say? Go back to sleep. Go back to sleep and tell Papa not to come to you in a dream, to come to Papa and tell all of us in a dream. Then it'll be believable. Simcha's a nice guy, and he helped me start the program today by volunteering a place where he'd like to go to. But he doesn't have more credibility than anyone else. And if he says something, I say, maybe yeah, maybe not. Maybe Hashem came to him, maybe not. Clearly, something like this is the better way to do it. If you want to start a religion, even if nothing happened, write it. Make up a story like this. How many religions are there in the world?
A lot.
That's not numeric, but that'll do. 100, 2,000. There's even a religion here in the United States out west called Bobism. A guy named Bob made his own religion, named it after himself. He actually wanted to name it after his wife, Judy, but the name was taken. So he used his own name. But there are so many religions in the world. How many religions claim national revelation, the divine being, that's Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shechita, coming to the entire nation? Guess. One. Only us. We are the only nation that makes this claim. The question is, if this is the best way to start a religion, why doesn't any other nation make this claim? Why doesn't any other religion make this claim? Big religion, small religion, nobody. Nobody starts with a claim. Christianity doesn't start with a claim that Yoshka and 2.5 million Yidden stood at the Tabayah Sheni Yerushalayim and there were Kailas of Rokim Anachi Hashem Alkech Hashem Amati Lachem Sunday. There's no such claim. Islam, small religions, nobody makes the claim. They all start with one private individual. Oh, they may start with miracles. Miracles is nothing. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu made bigger miracles than Mamet HaSinai. 10 Makos, Kriyas Yamsuf. But we didn't become a Klal Yisrael from miracles. We came Klal Yisrael from a communication from the Ribbono Shel Olam. In fact, miracles is nothing. There was a famous magician in the United States a few years ago, Houdini. He was a Yid, actually. He died in 1933. He was able to be chained, gagged, lead feet put on his feet, thrown into the East River. For those of you who live in Rockland County, that's in next to Brooklyn, where they do Tashlich from Williamsburg. Thrown into the East River, and he'd come up 5 minutes later without the chains and the gags. Somehow he could do it. To this day, nobody knows how he did it. All kinds of things like that. What if Houdini would get out of the water and say to me, Bergstein, you see what I just did, that miracle? It's because I have a message from the Ribbono Shel Olam. From now on, these are your religious dictates. You know, do this, 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 this. You know what I say to Houdini? Mr. Houdini, I am so impressed with your magic show here. I am so impressed with your miracles. I can't explain it. Maybe it was a trick. Maybe it was real. Maybe you have powers beyond what I can imagine. But that is totally unrelated to what you subsequently told me, that you have a message of God. The fact that I cannot explain how you did something that looks to me amazing doesn't give you a license that now everything you say is a divine statement. One has nothing to do with the other. I'm impressed with this. I can't explain it. But that doesn't give you a license for everything. It's unconnected. Miracles don't do it. Mamet HaSinai, an event like this, does it. This is the way to start a religion. Why doesn't every religion start like this, even if it didn't happen? Maybe, Rachmana Litzlan, ours didn't happen, but we, Yidden, had the brains to make it up. Here's the answer. It's so simple. An event like this, if it didn't happen, you could not make it up and retrofit it into history. It's too big an event, too giant an occurrence to make up and sell it that it actually happened. And I could basically show it to you by a simple example right here. Let's pretend, instead of this being Har Sameach, that this is Rockland Community College. That way. Rockland Community College. Whichever way. Yeah, that way. Okay. Rockland Community College. And this is United States History 101. And I'm telling you the true history of the United States of America. Okay? In 1776, students, George Washington, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, and all the Gedolei America were standing in Center City, Philadelphia. And the sky opened up. And there was Kailos of Rokim uncovered, and the ram's horn, and they were trembling. And suddenly they heard the voice of the Rebbeinu Shalom, Anoichi Hashem Eloikecha, Asher Hoitzeisicha Mitachas King George V. And I'm making you the new country, United States of America. Eat the cheesecake. Don't laugh. Maybe that happened. Maybe that happened. How do you know that didn't happen? It's 253. Well, how many years ago? Is it a long time? It's 200 something years ago. How do you know that didn't happen? Maybe it did. Just you weren't born yet. I wasn't born. My grandparents weren't born yet. How do you know that didn't happen? Very simple. If that really would have happened, you wouldn't need Eliyahu Bergstein in Muncie today to tell it to you. Because every American from Maine to California would know about it. It would be a Dover Yadua Lakoil. It would be a nationally known thing. Independence Day would be, wow. It would be, everybody knows this great miracle happened to start us off. If I come and tell it to you today, I'll be left out. Come on, if that would have happened, how come nobody knows about it? You know, 200 years later, you're the first guy who knows about it. I can't retrofit it into history. A gigantic event can't be retrofitted into history. I could retrofit into history a story that was a little tailor in Krakow in the time of the Ramah, who was a tzaddik, and he lit lecht every night, and the lecht burned 14 years. Happened? Didn't happen? Nobody can say yes or no. But a big event you can't make up. Who heard of Napoleon? Not the cake in this time. The emperor. Okay, ever heard of Napoleon? Okay, you also obviously heard of the great Bafufzia. Bafufzia came after Napoleon. He reigned for twice as long. He conquered the whole world. He made everybody wear purple clothing for 60 years. And then he was finally assassinated. How do you know Napoleon is true and Bafufzia is a figment of my demented imagination? Simple. Everybody heard about Napoleon. You can't fake a French emperor. Conquered the world. Everybody knows. Bafufzia, there was a person bigger and better. And nobody heard about it but you? Can't be. That's why nobody makes this claim. Nobody makes this claim because if it didn't happen, you can't make the claim. There'll always be bishatoi, post-shatoi, at any time an objection. Didn't happen, never happened, nobody. That's why everybody goes back to this. That's why even other major religions that realize an event like this is critical for the credibility go back to this. Of course, they'll come and say, but afterwards, Hashem changed his mind. Well, I say very simple. If he changed his mind, come back with performance number two. Don't come back to Simcha and say, Simcha, let everybody know I changed my mind. You know, it doesn't sell. But this is a very important point. Some people sometimes ask me, don't other religions have a tradition going back up to their original? Maybe their tradition is true also. My answer is, their traditions are 100% true. And ours are 100% true. You just got to know what they're saying and what we're saying. If you ask somebody from another religion, how do you know about your religion? How do you believe? Why do you believe? What's with your religion? They'll go back and say, my father, my grandfather, my grandmother, up to the original. And the original, what did he tell you? I believe in Mr. J. I believe in Mr. M. Did they hear? Did they see anything personally? No. They have pure faith in that person, in that person's message. And that tradition is handed down. Now contrast that to us. We go up the line to the Avos Avoseinu, our great-great-great-grandparents who were at Sinai. What are they saying to us? We saw, we heard Koil Hashem. We don't have any emuna. There's no faith. We don't have faith in Moshe Rabbeinu. We didn't. Moshe Rabbeinu is relatively, if I'm a Megzogin, close to insignificant when it comes to the Rabbeinu Shalaylam. We heard from the Rabbeinu Shalaylam. That's a different ball game than up the line to an individual who starts with faith. We don't start with faith at all. In fact, to say I am Ma'amin in Har Sinai is not a true statement. It's not Emuna. The Pasuk doesn't even say Emuna. The Pasuk says, Ato Horeso Lo Das. That's the Pasuk. Ato Horeso Lo Das, Ki Hashem Hu Elokim. You have been shown, not Laha'amin, Lo Das. It's a Yediya. It's a fact. It's a piece of information. Sinai is a piece of information. It's not, we don't believe in Har Sinai. We know it. We know it because it's been handed down to us. And if I'm even talking to a non-from person, I can show them basically the evidence. Contrasted, why doesn't any other religion make this claim? If somebody actually thinks about this and sits down and internalizes it and really lets it sink in, Shavuos, you'll explode from Kedusha on Shavuos. Because it's a day that it's bringing you up to a new dimension of your existence. You're a chosh of a person. You're a Mamed HaSinai person. Not only that, without you, there's no Mamed HaSinai. Because the old story is that there's 600 letters in the Torah, there's 600,000 letters in the Torah, 600,000 Yidden. What is it talking about? There's not 600,000 letters in the Torah. There's 305,804 letters in the Torah. And there's not 600,000 Yidin, Baruch Hashem, there's more. So what does that mean, every Yid is connected an Ois? I think, in my own little understanding, it means that, like, if you're missing an Ois in the Torah is possible. If you're missing a Yid at Har Sinai, we're missing a critical element. People think, Yiddishkeit goes on without me. Yeah, it will. But it's missing you. Say this to a bocher versus ogefur in hand. Nobody ever told it to him or her. Okay, that's not our subject tonight, today. But say it to a Friar Yid. Rabbi Koren mentioned in Rockland County, sitting Friar Yidin is going to come Shavuos. You have an opportunity maybe somewhere to connect with them. Say something, a smile, a wake-up call in whatever way. And Aish can provide that kind of support to be able to do that in that kind of way. We have ato horeso lodas. In fact, no emuna at all. In fact, emuna by Sinai doesn't exist. And what the Rambam says, ani ma'amin be'emuna shleima, I venture to say we're translating emuna incorrectly. What is the translation of emuna? It comes from the word amen, aleph mem nun. We say every day, moide ani lefonecha melech chai v'chayom, Shechazato binishmasi b'chem l'rabba, and then the last two words are Rabba emunasecha. We're talking to Hashem, and we're saying to Hashem, Rabba, so big is emunasecha. If emuna means belief, what are we saying? Hashem, you're a real believer. Hashem is a real believer. We're half believers. He's a real believer. Doesn't even work. In davening we say, U'malchusoi ve'emunosoi lo'ad kayomes. Hashem's malchus, kingdom, and his emuna is forever. What's his emuna? His belief? If it's belief, it's only shayach to us, not shayach to Hashem. We're translating the word wrong. The word emuna doesn't mean belief. The word emuna is a different word altogether. Vayhi oimein es hadaso, it says by Mordechai and Esther. Oimein, from the word emuna, means he raised her. She was dependent on him. She trusted him. She relied on him. Emuna is trust, dependence, reliance. When we say Rabbo Emuna Secha, we're saying your reliability is gigantic, Hashem. Your trustworthiness is gigantic. When the Rambam says Ani Ma'amin Be'Emuna Shleima, if it's faith, what's Pshat Emuna Shleima? Full faith? Partial faith. There's partial faith. 23 hours a day, I think the Rebbeinu Shleim, Chas V'Shulam, 1 hour a day, a bit down to the Getchke. Partial faith, yeah. Gunish Ved. Emuna Shleima can only be not faith, but trustworthiness. It's all over the place. Kasher Yiso Ha'oimen Es Hayoinek. As a nursing mother carries the nursing child. The nursing mother is called an Oimen. Why is she an Oimen from the word Emunah? Because that kid relies and trusts on her. So it's two steps really. The first step is Atohareso Lodas. You have been shown, Mamad Hasinai, to know this is it. Now Emunah comes second. I know it. Good. Do I rely on it? Do I rely on it? When it's 5 p.m. in the winter, and I walked into an office because I have an interview for a job, and it's the end of the day, and I all of a sudden realize I didn't daven mincha yet. If I go in for the 5 p.m. interview, I'm not going to be able to daven mincha. If I walk out to the hall and find some corner to daven, I'm going to miss the interview that I finally got. Now the Emunah is being challenged. I know Sinai! I know Torah! Now do I put it into practice? Do I really rely on it? Do I say, well, I'll say two Shemoneh Esrei's by mind if it's sort of a shayeg, you know, maybe a little bit. Or do I say, you know, if I really have Emunah in Hashem and I rely and I have the trust on Hashem, I got to do that. You're benching and the phone starts ringing. And you're timing it. Will I get to Al Yechasreinu before four rings and it goes to the message machine? Where's your Emunah? Emunah says, forget about the message. Forget about the phone. Now I'm benching. This is already a higher level. Coming back to Sinai though, the Torah even goes further, and the Torah says that this will not be forgotten by the Eden forever. And we don't have the quote, I don't have that slide here, but the next slide actually says that no other nation will ever make the claim of a Mamad Har Sinai. And the reason behind it is very simple. If it didn't happen, you can't make the claim. I'm just conclude by saying that if somebody really internalizes it and thinks about it, they become malei simcha, because your whole life becomes different, your whole life becomes meaningful. And if you internalize it, then you can give it over to your children, to your family, and you can reach other Yidden that are out there too. And the Yidden that are out there today that Project Inspire talks about are not Yidden that are anti-Torah, they're Yidden that are empty of Torah. They're Yidden that never heard any of these ideas. Most of the things I said here today, everyone here knows. Maybe I touched on a new little idea of Emunah, of how it goes. But what a gigantic opportunity. Hashem should help that we should go into Shavuos ourselves inspired and with the intention and ability to inspire other people, Be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach. We're going to have a short break. I want to say two things. Thanks for listening to me. And Rabbi Yaakov Solomon will be starting. Is he here? Is Rabbi Yaakov Solomon here?
I didn't see that. We're going to start
in 8 minutes. In 8 minutes, Jewish minutes, B'diyuk, and the Yitzhak coming. And thank you for